Jesus never takes volunteers. Rather, he is the one who initiates discipleship.
Dr. John Pless, author of The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for July, Luther's Small Catechism, A Manual for Discipleship.
Jesus is the one who confiscates the lives of those that he chooses through his word and makes of them disciples.
Learn more about this new resource, Luther's Small Catechism, A Manual for Discipleship, at issuesetc.org.
You're a very difficult person to contact,
Spider-Man.
This is Mr. Beck.
We could use someone like you on my world.
Your world?
Beck is from Earth, just not ours.
A snap to our hole in our dimension.
You're saying there's a multiverse?
We have a job to do, and you're coming with us.
There's gotta be someone else you can use.
What about Thor?
Off-world.
Captain Marvel?
Unavailable.
But I'm just a friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Bitch, please, you've been to space.
What do you want, Peter?
I want to go back on my trip with the girl who I really like and tell her how I feel.
MJ,
I
am Spider-Man.
No, of course I'm not.
I mean, it's kind of obvious.
You're right, you may not be ready, but this is my responsibility.
Saving the world requires sacrifice.
Sometimes people die.
I always feel like I'm putting my friends in danger.
The world needs the next Iron Man.
Are you going to step up or not?
That's a trailer for the movie Spider-Man Far From Home. Now, these films are building on a story. They're keeping a Spider-Man for a change, the main character playing the Spider-Man. He has been upgraded a little bit, and here he's called upon to save Earth, just not, I believe, our Earth. Welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll be reviewing the movie Spider-Man Far From Home with Pastor Ted Geese. Then we're going to be talking with Terry Mattingly about media coverage of religion and the growth gap in American cities. Feel free to join us with questions or comments. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, our Twitter address @issuesetc. And the listener comment line, 618-223-8382. Pastor Ted Geese is a regular guest. He often joins us for movie reviews. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
As is usually the case with these Marvel movies, because they all build upon one another and kind of branch out from one another, we need a little context for Spider-Man Far From Home. What is it?
So this comes after the events of Avengers Endgame. So Tony Stark has, sacrificed himself to help stop Thanos and reverse the effects of the snap that happened in the Avengers movie previous to that. So this is kind of like in the wake of that. So this is in the aftermath. And the film kind of starts with this cheesy sort of high school AV club video that's put together memorializing some of the people who died in the previous film, the Black Widow and these different characters and Tony Stark, and also explaining that these people came back, but now 5 years had gone by or some length of time had gone by and they didn't, there's an age differential between the ones who snapped away and the ones that stayed. And some kids had to, like, even though they'd finished half a year of school, had to, go back and start over again and take that year all over again. So it's just dealing with all the aftermath of that. So, and Peter Parker, of course, is the pupil or the student of Tony Stark. He was the mentor. He took Iron Man, took him under his wing. So now he's dealing with the loss of his mentor and also just wanting to be a teenage kid. And he's got this science trip to Europe that he's going to go on, and he wants to impress the girl MJ that he likes. And then he gets yanked into this kind of additional plot, this other story that's, erupting onto the world.
What is the basic plot? How would you describe it?
Well, you know, Peter's going through his grief and his trying to be a teenage kid and trying to have some kind of regularity. He wants to have maybe a summer where he doesn't have to try to save the world. But you have this character of Quentin Beck who shows up. And one thing that happened in the previous Avengers film was that they teased this idea of a multiverse, like multi-universes, and this idea that there's a potential like tears could happen between them and that kind of stuff. So they teased that. So this guy shows up saying that he's from this other Earth, a different Earth, that Earth has been attacked by these elemental forces, and that now they're on this Earth, and now they're, you know, he needs to help to try to stop them, but they need more help. So then they have S.H.I.E.L.D. with Agent Fury kind of goes to Spider-Man and wants him to come help. But as a result, that would mess up his school trip, and basically the school trip kind of gets hijacked. It gets upgraded and shot around Europe to the different places that they're going to need to be for Spider-Man to help try to stop these elemental destructive forces. They show up like tornadoes or things like that, fire and water and stuff. And then there's this Quentin Beck who gets nicknamed Mysterio, and he's there fighting these things, and Peter's there to help.
Since this is a part of a much bigger story, all these films really are, I guess I always wonder, does Spider-Man Far From Home work as a standalone film, or do you have to get on the train at the originating station to actually understand what's going on?
You know, this one I don't think really works that great as a standalone film. The previous one, the Homecoming one, that could work as a standalone film more so than this one. It really requires knowing quite a bit. And as we often do, and I was kind of trying to write it so that the actual written review so that I didn't spoil too much, but in order to kind of like answer that question, we kind of need to spoil some things. Because the film deals with this idea of what is true and what is not true, what is an illusion, what is a lie, this kind of stuff, because Mysterio, this Quentin Beck, starts out as somebody who looks like he's an obvious superhero, but he's actually a villain. And Spider-Man has to deal with the fact that he's kind of gullible. He's a teenage kid, and he's just not that street smart yet. So another thing that happens as this is all unfolding is you kind of watch the film and you think to yourself, you know, Samuel L. Jackson as Nick Fury is not acting in character to Nick Fury. He's kind of bumbling. He's not really 100% with it all the time. And what is revealed at the very, 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 very end, like in the post-credit stuff, is that it hasn't actually been Agent Fury, Nick Fury. It was one of the Skrull who was impersonating Agent Fury. And that was all set up in that movie, Captain Marvel. So you see how these all... They're so connected with each other that they don't really work as standalone films. But when that reveal happens at the end of this film, you can kind of forgive the fact that this Nick Fury doesn't seem to be Nick Fury, because he isn't. These movies are more and more becoming very, very interconnected.
Okay, so you just mentioned the themes of kind of youthful inexperience and gullibility that is at work here in the Spider-Man character. Give us some examples.
Well, the major big example, I guess, and this is, again, one of these kind of spoilers, is that you get Iron Man has given him a gift because he does really want Spider-Man to be a successor of some sort within the Avengers of him. So he gives him these glasses, and they're called Edith, and it's like an AI computer system kind of thing. And Edith is an acronym for Even in Death, I'm the Hero. So, you know, this is Tony Stark as a character, right? So he gives him this, and with these glasses, he can surveil people. He can, call down drone strikes from outer space, this kind of stuff, right? And because of his personal self-doubts, he doesn't really think that he's worthy of this trust from Tony Stark. And he sees this character of Mysterio, this Quentin Beck, as being such an obvious hero and he should be the one with these glasses, this AI thing. And what he does is he, you know, unwittingly or in a gullible, naive way, thinking that this person is somebody that they're not, gives the villain this piece of technology, which is very, very dangerous. And if he was, you know, less gullible and more street smart, he wouldn't do that. So he just, this is maybe the major example of that. And of course, along the way, he never figures out that Nick Fury is not Nick Fury. So he's just not, they really do a good job of showing how this character is a teenager trying to figure things out along the way, and he doesn't have it all figured out.
So he's dealing with the death of the Tony Stark / Iron Man character. How does Spider-Man Far From Home deal with the issue of death and grief?
Well, mainly in that character of Spider-Man, you know, like Peter Parker, he's dealing with Tony Stark's death in this kind of way. And you see this happen actually in life when somebody has the person that they trust the most die, and then they're left with an enormous amount of self-doubt of themselves. Like, they don't know what to do with themselves. And this is what happens. His grief kind of plays out in him not being sure of himself. And that's the way the film kind of deals with grief.
Does it make any reference, because the Spider-Man character is largely shaped by the death of his uncle, who was a surrogate father to him? A lot of the films have come back to that moment. Does it deal at all with that one?
No, they don't retread that. Aunt May in these films, these two last ones, is played by Marissa Tomei, and she's a lot younger, you know, than Aunt May from the comic books or the cartoon or the previous Spider-Man films. So, and really, the uncle is not a part of these. Like, that's not a focus on this. Those, like the Tobey Maguire ones, the ones from years ago, tend to go more into that, and these ones have kind of sidestepped it or decided not to deal with it at this time.
Pastor Ted Geese is our guest reviewing the movie Spider-Man Far From Home on this Thursday afternoon. On the other side of the break, we'll talk a little bit more about the villain in Spider-Man Far From Home. He's a tricky character. Then Terry Mattingly will join us. We'll talk about media coverage of religion and the growth gap in American cities.
And we're gonna have a ball just like we always do. Saturday night at the movies. Who cares what picture you see?
What is a life of discipleship? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July is Luther's Small Catechism, a manual for discipleship. It's written by Issues Etc. regular guest, Professor John Pless. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Luther's Small Catechism, a manual for discipleship, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, 1-800-325-3040 or issuesetc.org.
Our cities are some of the greatest mission fields on the planet, but the footprint of the church is shrinking. We dare not shrink from our cities. Christ is needed now in our urban areas. From chaos, turmoil, decay, death, and destruction, Jesus brings peace, hope, resurrection, eternal life, and rebuilding. And you can help by being a hero for the city. Find out how at lcms.org/citymission or on Facebook at LCMS City Mission. Every city needs a hero. Capes and helmets not required.
Lutheranism in the public square. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Discover a truly Lutheran approach to education. Concordia University Chicago's Center for the Advancement of Lutheran Liberal Arts supports a vibrant, growing community of classical educators. Whether you're a teacher, administrator, parent, or homeschooler, we have the resources and contacts you need to start a child's journey into the Lutheran Liberal Arts. Visit cuchicago.edu/calla. That's C-A-L-L-A.
The LCMS mission in Gambia is the Lutheran Federal Credit Union Ministry of the Month. During July, if you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or if you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to the LCMS mission in Gambia. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Good for you, good for the church. LutheranFCU.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, reviewing the movie Spider-Man Far From Home. Pastor Ted Geese is our guest. He taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity, the Movies, a Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Our Issues Etc. book of the month for July is a basic, well, let's call it what it is. It's a manual for discipleship, but it's based entirely around Luther's Small Catechism. The author, Dr. John Pless, has the insight that Luther's catechism is actually useful for the Christian life. It actually is something that can be used every day in the Christian life. That's what it's all about. You can find out more about Luther's Small Catechism, a manual for discipleship, at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and order Luther's Small Catechism, a manual for discipleship. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Okay, we have the villain character here, and look, you get cast in one of these movies, Marvel movies, as a villain, and you can write your own ticket. I imagine there are agents out there trying to get people into these strange suits and CGI situations. Who exactly is this villain again?
The character's name is Quentin Beck, and then he has a persona which is Mysterio, which is the kind of superhero, kind of quote-unquote superhero element of it. But this is played by Jake Gyllenhaal, and he's an obvious superhero because he's got a cape and he's got, like, he can shoot like power out of his arms and all the rest of it, and flies and all of this stuff. But what people don't know on the surface of all of it is, and it gets revealed along the way, is that he's actually kind of one of these little guys along the way that Tony Stark stepped on. And he's gathered together a group of other little guys along the way who worked for Stark Industries here, there, or somehow, who have all been snubbed in some way. And they all collectively put together all of their technological knowledge, and they have created this alter ego, which gets nicknamed Mysterio. And it's all smoke and mirrors. And the whole idea of Mysterio in the comic books originally, and the cartoon, and at different times, was the idea that he was a stuntman and it was all like tricks and he was not what he seemed to be. This was actually a character that was being set up for Bruce Campbell to play in the Sam Raimi ones, but Sam Raimi didn't end up doing a fourth Spider-Man movie. He only did three of them. So they had been kind of setting this up along the way, but now it's being played by Jake Gyllenhaal. And this guy is a guy with delusions of grandeur. He's unhinged. And he thinks that, you know, if with all of this stuff, all these technological kind of tricks, that he can be the new Tony Stark, or at least people could think that he is, and he could get all of the praise and adoration that he should have had, that Tony had along the way.
So why do you say that Christian viewers need to take note of Mysterio's plot to take Tony Stark's place and this view of himself?
Well, this is where, okay, so if you're watching the film, like you're watching a movie, you're a Christian, you're sitting in the pew, and you're minding your own business, and all of a sudden you hear Mysterio say something about how he is the truth. He says, talking about this, Quentin Beck is talking about Mysterio, and he says that Mysterio is the truth with definite article, the truth. Well, when you hear something like that as a Christian, you might think to yourself, oh, wait a minute. I remember from John chapter 14, Jesus saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So as soon as you have the villain saying something that sounds a lot like what Jesus says, then you can go, okay, wait, let's compare and contrast. And this is pretty obvious because he's obviously a villain by this point. He's the obvious superhero at the beginning of the film, but then it's revealed that he's this villain and he does not care about people. He is not self-sacrificing. He is not a Jesus character at all. But, you know, this is where that delusion of grandeur comes in, where he's got a savior complex, but he is not a savior. He is, in fact, a bad guy. So that's something where a Christian might want to pay attention to that. The other thing is that it brings up this notion of what is true, and particularly because everything that he does is all tricks to make people believe one thing when that thing is not the true thing. So Christians should be paying attention to that, because, you know, what is it that we base our faith in, or how, what do we say is actually true? Well, Christ is true. Scripture is true. Jesus is the Word, as the beginning of the Gospel of John says, and the Word of God, Scripture, is true. So, you know, we live in a world where there are people who actually want to influence what we believe is true. And the Christian needs to think to themselves, am I being unduly influenced? Am I being tempted to take my eye off of what is the truth and put it onto something that is, you know, smoke and mirrors? So this is something where I think it could be a good reminder if Christians want to, or viewers, any viewer really, if they're watching the film and they want to take a moment and think a little more deeply about it, it's a light and fun film. But if you want to think more deeply about it, that's not a bad thing to think about.
No small irony that this film wouldn't even exist in its current form without the smoke and mirrors of the technology that creates all of this.
Exactly. And this actually gets back to a conversation we had a couple movies ago when we were talking about Toy Story 4. And you were saying, you know, like, well, are you worried about, you know, where this technology is going, that you can like so convincingly fake certain things? And listen, this movie is not a movie where all of the CGI is convincing. It's clearly CGI kind of stuff. It's not that slick. But that doesn't mean that that kind of computer-generated imagery isn't moving in that direction. Now, you know, the next movie we're going to talk about along the way will probably be The Lion King. Now, the question is, you know, to what extent are they able to pull this kind of stuff off? That's something we'll talk about then. But you're right. It's kind of ironic that this should be the story inside of a movie where so much of it is obviously not real. But it's begging the question about that, or it's asking the question about that. And I think that that's kind of interesting.
I'm intrigued by why we find these characters fascinating, superheroes. And some of them are like pure superhero. That is, they operate totally from some sort of superhuman power that they've either born with, like Superman, or acquired through a terrible accident or something like that. And then at the other end of the spectrum, you got the Batmans and the Tony Starks, men in suits who happen to have enough money and technology to behave like a superhero. And Spider-Man's right in between those two, isn't he?
Yeah, and I think that probably is what makes him more relatable. Like, if you take a character like Thor, Chris Hemsworth playing Thor, the things about Thor that make him relatable are, you know, like his poor family situation, or, you know, like some of his emotional angst, that kind of stuff. A character like Doctor Strange doesn't come off as very relatable, very interesting, but not very relatable. But here you've got like your, you know, your teenage kid who doesn't know, he isn't quite who he is yet. He's trying to figure out all of that. He's kind of bumbling along, doing the best he can. And he just comes across as a more relatable character in that way. And I think that people can think back to that time in their own life when they were still, you know, just learning how to operate in the world, and they can see themselves in the character of Peter Parker.
How would you compare Spider-Man Far From Home with the other Spider-Man films? Some of them were really bad, but how would you compare? Yeah.
Well, it's way better than Spider-Man 3, that's for sure. That was the last of the Sam Raimi ones. That was the one with, you know, Sandman was in it, and it just was, that was a terrible one. And the ending was just double terrible. So it's way, way, way better than that. I also like it a lot better, like this one and the Homecoming one, these Marvel Studio ones, I like them a lot better actually than the Andrew Garfield ones. That was the 2012-2014 ones. And I think we actually talked about the one with Electro in it along the way. So these ones I find are a little better because they keep it light and fun. And there is always this kind of weird, fun, light quality to Spider-Man, because it's like they know that it's kind of ridiculous. And his rogues gallery is a ridiculous rogues gallery. It's like Dr. Octopus with his arms and the rhino and all of these kind of outlandish characters. And you kind of can't take it all too seriously. And these films kind of do that. And in fact, this one is maybe a little less crass than the previous one. The first one of these with Tom Holland, where there was a lot more kind of body humor in it, a little more crass. This one was a little tamer in that regard. But the side characters and stuff, they're fun. His friend Ned and, who wants to go to Europe as a bachelor but ends up dating a girl on the trip the whole way around Europe. They're all kind of fun characters, and they're enjoyable to watch.
With only about 30 seconds here, does it set up a sequel or move the ball ahead in the franchise story?
Not really. I mean, I guess just the fact that he's, comes out of it with maybe a little less self-doubt. And also the thing that it does is it brings in the Daily Bugle, and kind of like he feels like he's on top of the world, and then the rug gets pulled out from underneath his feet with J. Jonah Jameson, they're kind of saying, Spider-Man's the real villain. You shouldn't trust him. So that Mysterio has managed to orchestrate a bit of a switcheroo even at the very end of the film. So, and that's in that the mid-credit scene there. So it does set that up that, it's going to go in that direction. And it'll be interesting to see what they do with that.
You can read Pastor Ted Geese's review of Spider-Man Far From Home at issuesztc.org. Click On Demand Archives. Pastor Ted Geese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, thanks.
Thank you.
Terry Mattingly is with us on the other side of the break. We're going to talk about media coverage of religion and the growth gap in American cities. We hear that American cities are growing, but the truth is only some of them are growing, and the others are either stagnating or falling behind, both economically and in terms of numbers. Is there a religion angle in that big and growing story? If you appreciate Issues Etc., talk radio for the thinking Christian, and Lutheran Public Radio, sacred music for the world, please include a bequest in your will or trust for these worldwide media resources. Bequests aren't subject to federal tax or capital gains taxes. Ensure your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren the opportunity to listen by including a bequest in your will or trust for Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio.
Things when I hear on the radio tonight about Obama being a Christian but not being good because of his pro-choice and homosexuality stances.
Here's a recent comment from the Issues Etc. comment line.
Yet I see no evidence of any literature that in the Bible that you stated that says that these things are against biblical teachings.
The Issues Etc. comment line, available 24/7, 618-223-8382.
What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's a monthly magazine on faith and life, theology and culture that helps readers interpret the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective. Filled with expert insights, good writing, and inspiring stories, it also provides essential church information for LCMS members. What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's the flagship periodical of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and it has been for more than a century. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans in their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces, lcms.org/armedforces.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century.
The state that holds our hope forever.
the 12th century. The 16th century. The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.